So we're beginning the famous book of Eov, the book of Job. The Gemara tells us in Baba Basra, the first chapter, according to one opinion, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the book of Eov. This was the book of Jewish philosophy that the Jewish people had to learn. This is one opinion in the Gemara. And so the Jews left Mitzrayim and they have to deal with the hardships they had just undergone. Why did they have to suffer so much? So Moshe Rabbeinu gives them a book, and it's not clear if Eov ever existed or not. It could be the whole story, and the arguments are a way that Moshe expresses different philosophical arguments about why people suffer in this world. So one opinion says Eov lived, he existed in the days of Yaakov Avinu. One of his friends is Esav's son, Eliphaz. One opinion is that Eov lived in the time of the judges, in the days of the Shoftim. One opinion is that Eov never happened. The point of the story is the philosophical arguments. So we begin the book, Eov, the first chapter, the first pasuk. The first chapter and some of the book are written in the regular Haftarah tune, and later on it shifts to the tune of Mishle and Tehillim, a totally different tune. So there's a shift in the middle of the book, after the very beginning of the book, and when you see where the shift occurs, you'll think for yourself if you can figure out why. We begin the book. Yes, sir.
Where's the shift occur?
You'll see. We'll get there. I hope. There are two types. There's the tune of Torah and Prophets, and then there's a unique tune for Mishle and Tehillim. In Eov, we have both. There's a shift.
It's the acronym Emet, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir. The book describes a story. The question is, did this story happen? Or did Moshe Rabbeinu write the story as a way of expressing concepts? Not necessarily because the story actually occurred. Ish hayav eretz utz Eov shemo. There was a man of importance, a man of prominence, a man who did a lot of kindness. He lived in the land of Utz, which might be Aram Naharaim, Avraham Avinu's home territory. And his name was Eov. And that person was Tam v'yashar v'rei Elohim v'sar meira. He was a man who was whole. He was a man who was honest. He was a man who was God-fearing. He was a man who kept away from what was evil. So he's a very good person. Vayivaledu lo shiva vanim v'shalosh banot. Life is taking on a nice course. He has 7 sons and 3 daughters. Vayihi mikneyu. His cattle was shivat alfei tzon, 7,000 sheep. Ushloshet alfei gemalim, 3,000 camels. Vachamesh meot tzemet bakar, vachamesh meot atonot. He has 500 pairs of cattle, 500 mules. Vavuda rabba meod. And he has a lot of staff, and he has a lot of produce. Vayhi ha'ishahu gadol mikol b'nei kedem. And so all the people of the East, he was the wealthiest man in the East. Lehalechu vanav v'asu mishteh. Now his sons, on a weekly basis, would party. Beit ish yomo. Every day, they'd party in a different son's house. V'shalechu v'kareu lishlosh et achyoteihem. And they would party together. They'd invite their sisters. Lechol v'lishtot imahem. They'd invite them to eat and drink with them. So there was great unity among the brothers. He had a wonderful family. They would each eat together, and each one would take their turn taking care of the family. Vayhi ki kifu yemei hamishte. So when the cycle would finish, the end of the week, Vaishlach Iov Vaikadeshem, Iov would summon the children at the end of the week, Vishkim Baboker Velaolot. Iov would say, come, let's bring sacrifices. Let's thank God for all the blessings He's given us. Mispal Kulam. He'd give sacrifice for each child. 10 sacrifices every week. He'd call in all his kids, his 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he'd say, now let's bring sacrifices to God. We've ended a week together. Ki amar Iov. Iov would say, Ulai chateu vanai uverechu Elohim bilvavam. Maybe my children blasphemed. Life is going so well for them. Maybe, in the course of their partying, they thought thoughts that were blasphemous. Thoughts of how God is irrelevant. Thoughts of how our wealth is what counts. Thoughts of how our pleasure is what counts. Kacha yase Iov kol hayamim. This is what Iov would do his whole life. We will see later on in the book that Iov was a charitable person. Iov was a person who ensured there was justice in his country. Iov was a person who took care of the poor. Iov was a person who never turned a deaf ear to those who asked him. Iov was a person who can say about himself, I've done nothing wrong. But at this point, the pasuk describes Iov's personal life, his wealth, and his concern, maybe my kids had improper thoughts. Yes. Every week, his whole life. Vayhi hayom. So that day of Rosh Hashanah appeared. Vayavo b'nei ha'elohim lehityatzev al Adonai. And so the angels appear, and they stand before Hashem. Vayavo gam ha'satan b'tocham. And amongst all the angels, there's an angel that shows up. His name is Satan. Vayomer Adonai el ha'satan me'ayin tavo. So God says to Satan, where are you coming from? Vayan ha'satan et Adonai vayomar. Satan answers, mishut ma'aretz u'mehitalech ba'. He says, I've been traveling from throughout the land. I've been going all over earth. Vayomer Adonai el ha'satan. So Hashem says to Satan, hasamta libecha al avdi Iyov. Have you noticed my servant Job? Are you going to try to say something bad about him? Ki ein kamohu ba'aretz. Because you should know that I know you're here to tell me bad things about many people on earth, but there's no one like Iov. Ish tam v'yashar yirei Elohim v'sar mera. He's whole, he's honest, he's God-fearing, he stays away from evil. So Hashem is saying good, and he says, I hope you're not going to tell me something bad about him. Vayan ha-satan et Adonai vayomar. Satan answers Hashem. Hachinam yare Iyov Elohim. He says, well, is it really so impressive that Iyov is a God-fearing person? Halo ata sachta va'ado uv'ad beito uv'ad kol ha'shelo misaviv. You protect him. Iyov knows that things go well for him. In his life, things go right. His cattle give birth, his wife gives birth, his children are productive. Of course Iyov does nice things, because you do nice things for Iyov. Iyov's life is going well, so you protect him. So why is it so impressive that Iyov is a God-fearing person? Ma'aseh yadav berachta umikneyu paratz ma'aretz. You've blessed everything he does. Even his cattle, when bears try to attack his cattle, you could see his goats carrying bears on their horns. Oh yes, you've made Eov such a good life. What's the big deal that Eov's a God-fearing person? Ve'ulam shelachna yadecha ve'ga bechol asherlo. But, says Satan, why don't you touch him? Why don't you try touching all he owns? Im lo al panecha yevarecheka. You don't think he will blaspheme? Straighten your face, Hashem. Pause. What just happened there?
Satan's really not a good guy. It's just so not nice. He's about to put you up through hell just to prove a point.
Which he doesn't lose.
He loses. So that guy suffered for nothing for a point.
So we will, Be'ezrat Hashem, explore the book. And when we reach the end, 40 chapters later, we will ask an important question. Hashem will ultimately appear to Eov. And Eov is going to say, why am I suffering? And Hashem will answer him. And Hashem will not say, oh, let me just quote you the conversation that happened on Rosh Hashanah a few years ago. If the answer was so obvious, then the end of the book should reflect the beginning of the book. When Hashem appears to Eov at the end of the book to explain to him why he suffered, Hashem does not say, look at Eov chapter 1. You'll see what happened. Hashem does not answer anything similar to what's transpiring here. So we have to understand, why are we given this description in the beginning? And why is Hashem's answer at the end a different answer? And how do the two fit?
It's the same answer. It's a very similar answer to Habakkuk and to Yonah.
Maybe. We shall see. We shall see.
Don't they say that to draw people closer, you give them candy? Like, to make a kid come to you, you give him candy. You don't come to him dangerous and say, come here.
So Eov's been having a lifetime of candy.
But that's the point. Like, if you're gonna, it's in our human, he created us. It's in our human nature to not want to come close when we're being spanked, like when we're being forced. So if he's gonna
100%.
He's gonna get punished like this. It's only in his human nature to want to go away, and he proved the Satan wrong. But he still suffered. That doesn't. Why does God have to choose that path? Why can't he choose?
Agreed.
That path?
Agreed. That's the point of the book. Let's hear him out. The point of the book is first to dispel wrong answers. Most of the book is busy with saying that's not the right answer, and that's not the right answer, and that's also not the right answer. Most of the book is first of all about saying don't think that people suffer because of A or B or C or D. And that's very important before we get to why people do suffer. And so far we're being given a very complicated explanation as to what goes on in heaven. Wait a second, what's going on here? He did nothing wrong. Yeah, try making him suffer and let's see if he does nothing wrong. Why suffer? So we don't have answers yet.
To prove a point.
We don't have answers yet. We don't know yet. We're being told a story so far. Vayomer Adonai el Satan. Hashem says to the Satan, we have to define what the word Satan means, but for now we'll leave it hanging. Hinei chol asher lo biyadecha. Everything he owns is yours. Rak elav al tishlach yadecha. Just don't touch him. Vayetze ha-satan mehim penei Adonai. Satan leaves Hashem. Oh, you could leave Hashem? I didn't know you could leave Hashem. Where do you go if you want to leave Hashem? Food for thought. Vayhi hayom. And so on Rosh Hashanah, uvanav uvnotav ochelim. Veshotim yayin, the sons and daughters are eating and drinking wine. Beveit achihem habechor. It's the beginning of the week. They're at the firstborn's home. Umalach ba'elio vayomar. A messenger shows up to Eov and tells him. Habakar, a messenger. Habakar hayu chorishot v'atonot rot al yedeihem. The cattle was in the middle of plowing the field, and right next to them you had the mules, and they were grazing. V'tipol sheva v'tikachem. The queen of Sheba showed up, and she captured all your cattle. V'etanerim mikulepicharev, and they killed all your servants who were there plowing the fields and watching the cattle. And I'm the only one who made it out to come and tell you. And he drops dead. Od ze medaber veze bavayomar. He just finishes a sentence and drops dead. And another messenger runs in front of Eov and says, Eish Elohim, a fire from above, nafela min hashamayim, came down from heaven. Well, before this guy started talking, Eov was already telling his men, get your weapons. We're going to go after the Queen of Sheba. She's not going to get away with this. And before he could finish the sentence, another man runs in and says, a fire came down from heaven. And it burnt the sheep. It burnt the lads. Maybe a meteor. A fire came down from heaven, hit everything. Everything got burnt. Everything got destroyed. I've come to you wounded to tell you. Boom, he drops dead. He has two corpses in front of him. Od ze medaber veze bavayomar. As the second messenger is finishing his sentence, a third messenger comes in. Kasdim samu shiloshar rashim. The Kasdim, their battalion divided into three, and they attacked. They attacked your camels, and they took all your camels. They killed all the lads. All your servants who were watching the camels are dead. And only I escaped to tell you, and he drops dead. Three corpses in front of Eov. As the third one was finishing his sentence, Vize Bava Yomar, fourth man runs in and says, Banecha uvnotecha ochelim veshotim yayin. Your sons and daughter were eating. Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine. Beveit achihem habechor, at the eldest son's house. Vinei ruach gedola ba'a me'ever hamidbar. And a tremendous wind came out of the desert. It hit the wind. It hit the house on all four corners. And the house collapsed on all your kids. And they all died. And only I escaped to come and tell you. And then he drops dead. So Eov, in the span of about 5 minutes, gets to hear, maybe less, that he lost all his wealth, all his family other than his wife, who will be a major source of pain to Eov. And Eov just heard that everything is lost. Vayakom Eov vayikra et me'ilo. Eov stood up and he tore his cloak. Vayagoz et rosho. And he, of course, he was sitting with news like this. He staggered back into his seat and he shaves off his hair, his head. He pulls out the hairs from his head. And he throws himself to the ground. So why did he stand up? Because Kriya is only done standing. From here we learn that halacha. He stood up to tear his coat. He pulled the hairs out of his head. He threw himself to the ground and bowed. And he said, Arom yatzati mi beten imi. I came out of my mother's stomach. I was naked. The arom ashuv shama, and I will obviously return to the grave naked as well. Adonai natan v'Adonai lakach. Hashem is the one who gave me the blessings I had in my life. And now obviously Hashem has taken the blessings I've had in my life. Yehi Shem Adonai mevorach. May the name of Hashem be blessed. The name of Hashem. What's the name of Hashem? The name of Hashem is the acts of Hashem that we see. We don't see Hashem. We see His acts. That's His reputation. That's His name. Bechol zot lo chata Iyov. With everything that just transpired, Iyov has not transgressed. Velo natan tifla le'elohim. And he didn't start thinking, God is unfair. God is unkind. God doesn't know what goes on here. With everything that just transpired, Iyov does not put down his faith, his belief that Hashem runs the world. Vayhi hayom. A year passes. It's Rosh Hashanah again. Vayavohu b'nei Elohim lihityatzev al Adonai. The angels show up. They're all standing there. Vayavohu gam ha-satan b'tocham. Satan's in the midst of all the angels. Lihityatzev al Adonai. He's also going to stand there before Hashem. Vayomer Adonai el ha-satan eimizeh tavo. God says to Satan, where are you coming from? Vayana Satan et Adonai vayomar mishut ba'aretz umehitalech ba. I've been traveling earth. You're right. The question is correct. Why does Hashem ask any question?
No, but in this case, he's talking to his servants.
Like, right? Why does Hashem ask questions?
Are the angels arguing with God, right?
No. We are taught that when Hashem asks a question, He is teaching us something. He doesn't ask a question for His knowledge. He asks a question for our knowledge. Hashem asks a question so that we will ask the question. When God asks Adam, where are you? He's not asking because He doesn't know where Adam is. He's asking because Adam is supposed to ask himself, where am I? Hashem asks Satan, where are you coming from? Not because Hashem needs to know, but because Satan needs to know. You went to see mere mortals. You went to see people that are made of mud. People that have weaknesses. People that have desires. People that have regrets. People that have jealousy. You're coming from people that I created with weaknesses. Where are you coming from is a question for Satan. Don't talk harshly about them.
He knows where Satan's coming from.
Right. The question is for Satan, not Satan, for Hashem.
He created Satan to be that in his nature. That is who he is.
Okay. So there's another question. Okay. That's the question that you're supposed to ask. The book is supposed to get you riled up against Satan. Right. That's what the book's supposed to do.
I'm not angry at Satan. I'm angry at God for creating him.
Okay. So that's exactly what the book is trying to do. To get you to ask, wait a second, why? Rabbeinu Shlomo, why'd you do that?
Satan is his right hand, like you can't...
Exactly. Nowhere in the book do we come back to Satan. We will hear out Satan, watch what he does, and then it's not part of the conversation. Because you're right. The conversation is about Hashem, it's not about Satan.
That sucks.
No, there's an important concept in it being Satan, but that's not for now. Let's hear out the conversations, and at the very end, we got to come back and ask, wait, why was it so important to bring Satan into the picture in the beginning of the book? If he's not going to be a part of the conversation at the end of the book.
Two things. First thing is he should still have his soldiers.
Okay.
And he should still have his money.
Maybe they were paid soldiers. maybe his money he just invested in the...
And when we're talking about that we learned from this pasuk, v'ikam v'ikret at Begadav, so we don't learn, you're not supposed to pull out your hair, and you're not supposed to do all
good
this.
Question, but that's a pasuk that says not to in this week's parsha.
Yeah. So, but I'm saying...
Was he of Jewish?
We're learning from the same pasuk... One halacha, but not the other halacha.
Correct.
The same action that
correct, because when it says the Avelus of the Kohanim, it describes Kriya, and it also describes you're not supposed to take out hair or shave hair. The Torah tells me there is supposed to be Kriya, and there's not supposed to be a pulling out of hair. You're right, the Torah tells me that. So after the Torah told me, they're Bigdehem lo yifromu, the Kohanim shouldn't tear their clothing when a relative passes, clearly indicating everyone else should. They are unique.
So,
now I understand that there is a concept of Kriya. I look to Eov and I see how Kriya should be done. Torah says, don't pull out your hair. So I look to Eov.
So we also going to learn from there that because the Jews have a specific commandment not to pull out their hair, and Eov was assumingly not Jewish, then okay, that non-Jews would have a mitzvah to pull out their hair?
I don't know if we learn mitzvahs to non-Jews.
Yeah, seven at least.
Okay.
Is it on a different level?
That's a good question. That's a good question. Let's see. So Satan answers, Vayana Satanet Adonai Vayomar Mishut Ba'aretz Umehitalech Ba. I've been traveling earth. This also needs understanding. Vayomer Adonai El HaSatan. Hashem says to Satan, Hasamta libecha el avdi Eov. Have you been paying attention to my servant Eov? Are you going to start saying bad things against him? Ki ein kamo ba'aretz ishtam v'yashar yire Elohim v'sal mera. There's no one on earth like him, who's whole and honest and God-fearing and stays away from evil. And look at him. He's holding on to that wholeness of his. Hashem doesn't say, you did it. Hashem says, you spoke to me about him to make him suffer for nothing. Vayana Satan et Adonai Vayomar. Satan answers, Or be'ador v'chol asher la'ish yitein be'ad nafsho. Satan says, you know, if a person's about to get hit, they put their hand up so their hand gets hit and not their face. So, oh be'ado, people use skin to protect other skin. And by the same token, a person will give anything to save his own life. So, you know why Eov is still behaving the way he is? Because he knows that really he should have lost his life. You took his money, so he figures, okay, I still have my life. I'm not going to say anything. Ulam shilachna yadecha. But if you extend your hand, God, not me, you. Vega el atzmo ve'el besaro. But if you touch him, if you touch Eov personally, im lo el panecha yevarecheka. You don't think he'll blaspheme you directly? So, Satan makes an argument. Says if life is okay, it's just external things that went, a person can hold on to their respective view of Hashem. But when they themselves suffer, Vayomer Adonai el Satan, hino v'yadecha. God says to Satan, he's all yours. Achet nafsho shemo. But whatever you do to him, he shouldn't die. I don't give you a right to kill him. I do give you a right to do everything else to him. You have to keep him alive. Vayetze ha-satan meyet penei Adonai. Satan leaves from before Hashem. Vayach et Eov bishchin ra mikaf raglo ve'ad kodkodo. And so Eov gets covered with boils that will give him a sweat and will give him a fever, that will give him boils, that will give him
pain
in every inch of his body. His limbs will start shriveling. His body will start feeling as though it is falling apart, limb by limb, he will feel like the boils are penetrating to the point where he will live through the pain of feeling his body fall apart. He will have boils in his tongue and under his tongue. He will have fevers and he won't be able to sleep at night. He will have, when the boil gets infected, pus. And people won't be able to look at him.
You said earlier not to judge someone.
His pain will...
God judged Eov, and look where it happened. Look where it brought
doesn't
Eov.
Say God judged Eov.
He spoke of Eov. He's like, oh, look, there's no man on earth like Eov.
Right.
If he wouldn't have said anything, maybe something would have...
You're getting upset, which is what the book's supposed to do for you.
It's a bad story. And
no, it's a story that's supposed to... make us think. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the story. He could have written a beautiful story. Eov's sons almost got killed by the Queen of Sheba. And then because Eov was such a pious person in the last minute, all those horses dropped dead. The Queen of Sheba's men dropped dead. And Eov became a wealthier person and they lived happily ever after.
Are we supposed to strive to be like this no matter what?
The point is, we see children in an oncology ward. We see children that suffer. We see a world where there exists pain. People are exploited. There are people throughout Syria suffering. Men, women, children. And some of them are innocent. And you have to try and think for a minute, how am I supposed to be a Jew when I see so much pain that I cannot answer for? You cannot explain why innocent children are given diseases where they suffer to death.
I can accept that, but I can't accept God using someone to prove a point.
No. Ignore whether the story happened or not. The point of the story is to work out the philosophical arguments so that you will not lead a life of falsehood. We give ourselves false answers. And Eov is purposely portrayed in a way that you cannot justify his suffering in any way. That's exactly the point of the book. He does not deserve it. The point of the book is to show you there is a man who has done everything right and he suffers. And he suffers as much as a human being can possibly suffer. And all the explanations that his friends will try to explain why it makes sense he should suffer are wrong. And the point of the book is to bring us to a point where we say, I don't understand. But he really doesn't deserve it. He wins all the arguments.
I'm already at the point.
Okay, that's where the book's supposed to bring us. But we have to hear out all the arguments and then in the end reach some kind of answer.
It's painful.
But life is painful.
Going through this is just
the Jewish people had suffering in Egypt. People came out of Egypt missing an eye, a leg, an arm, having buried so many children. People have to be able to deal. People came out of the Holocaust. They saw their closest relatives murdered before their eyes. So now, how are you going to answer that? I have neighbors that bury children. They have to deal with their pain. My neighbor from Givat Shaul had a child drown as he took the child swimming. Fell into a pit. They couldn't find him till he drowned to death. I have a neighbor in Kochav Yaakov whose child had cancer. Within 2 weeks, the kid was gone. One day, they're playing with the kids. He's sweet. He's everything. The next day, he's gone. Suddenly, he's sick, and it's over. Yeah. We have a rabbi here in Machon Meir who buried his wife, who buried his son. People have to deal with real pain. The point of the book is to say, don't give me bad answers. They're good questions. And so the book purposely portrays Eov as one who does not deserve to suffer. And the book is forcing us to face up to the fact that good people suffer and you don't have a good answer for why they're suffering.
Can we take a break from this book?
Of course.
It's a very depressing...
Shabbat Shalom.